Hello and welcome to Lewis Nidas Law and the Lewis Nidas Podcast. I'm your host, Holly Sonnebend, and today we'll be talking to non-executive director at Lewis Nidas, Siobhan Egan. Siobhan has over 30 years' experience in the legal profession, having been called to the bar in 1989 and transferring to become a solicitor in 1993. Siobhan specialises in the defence of allegations of serious crime, regulatory and professional disciplinary breaches, money laundering, bribery and corruption, and lastly, serious fraud, including tax fraud. Siobhan's career has seen her consistently rank highly across a number of leading legal directories. Siobhan joins us today to discuss tax investigations and how one can be best prepared for such an eventuality. Siobhan, welcome to the show.
Thank you.
What approach do HMRC take to tax investigations and allegations of fraud?
They have two approaches. The first one, which they prefer to pursue, is what we call the civil approach, which is subject to Code of Practice 9. We describe that as the COP 9 approach. That's purely civil. It's much quicker for HMRC. It's more cost effective for them, and it produces real results. With the use of the COP 9 approach, HMRC will be looking for not just the principal sum of tax owed by the taxpayer, but in addition, interest and penalties, and these can be crippling. The alternative approach is the criminal approach, which is much more serious. It takes much longer and is more expensive for HMRC to go down that particular avenue and to secure a conviction.
When will they decide to conduct a criminal investigation and prosecute?
The factors that they take into effect are all laid out in HMRC's investigation policy dated May 2019. And these are some of the factors they will look at. First of all, does the fraud or criminal behaviour involve organised crime gangs, OCGs, or systematic fraud? They look to see if an individual holds a position of trust or responsibility, so are there any lawyers involved or any accountants? Where materially false statements have been made in the course of a civil investigation, i.e. that when the taxpayer comes for that first interview under, say, COP 9, and they produce false documents in an attempt to dissuade HMRC from going down that route, to the contrary, HMRC will then say, fine, this is now going to be turned into a criminal investigation. If, in the case of an avoidance scheme, reliance is placed on a false or altered document, or is misrepresented to enhance the credibility of that scheme, they will pursue a criminal prosecution. Where HMRC suspect deliberate concealment, deception, conspiracy or corruption, cases involving forged documents, cases involving importation or exports, breaching prohibition and restrictions, cases involving money laundering with particular focus on, again, the advisers or enablers, as HMRC describe them, accountants, solicitors, and those acting in a professional capacity who provide, for example, the means to transfer money out of the reach of HMRC or other law enforcement agencies. Where the individual has committed previous offences or there is a repeated pattern of unlawful conduct, then they will pursue a criminal prosecution. If threats have been made to HMRC officials, where there's a link to other criminality in other jurisdictions, they will also look to see if there is VAT issues or organised tax credit fraud. The other point, if an individual comes forward, makes a voluntary disclosure about tax owed, he or she is more likely to face the civil COP 9 approach by HMRC unless any of the above mentioned factors are present.
And what powers do they have?
Be in no doubt, HMRC have the most extensive powers of any government agency. These stem back to the smuggling days of the 16th and 17th centuries. They can do absolutely anything from follow you, raid your offices, dawn raids, power of arrest, production orders on your accounts, freeze your assets, restrain your assets, restrain your bank accounts, which is a relatively new development. And they have enormous powers under the Criminal Proceeds of Crime Act 2002, which is essentially confiscation after a conviction in the criminal courts. They'll use surveillance powers, they'll use Ripper powers, which essentially means they can intercept your emails, go into any account that you possess. They have absolutely enormous powers, and must never forget that when dealing with HMRC, because they will use them.
What are the benefits of a voluntary disclosure to HMRC?
Well, I've touched on that already. It essentially, if you come to them with clean hands, that means be absolutely honest and say, I think I owe the revenue X amount. I've done, perhaps I just have deliberately not disclosed the full amount of tax due. I may have monies in an offshore account. I may have repressed money, tax monies, that kind of thing. That will put you in good stead with the revenue, certainly initially, because that means they're having to come to look for you and be put to that expense. But again, make no mistake, they will put you through the ringer and will go through everything that you say with a tooth comb.
If HMRC decide to pursue a criminal investigation or prosecution, can they ever be persuaded to change approach and follow a civil remedy?
To be honest, it's highly unlikely, and I have yet to hear of a situation where that has occurred. They will go down the criminal route if any of the aforementioned factors that I've gone through in some detail are present. If they find out that they've made a mistake and that none of those factors are present, which is generally highly unlikely, then perhaps they could be persuaded to go down the civil route. But it's extremely difficult and worth trying. I mean, we certainly have made representations in the past for clients, but it is extremely difficult.
What are the penalties involved for determinations under civil and criminal investigations?
Well, they're very different. I've said earlier about if you're under a civil COP 9 approach, well, they will look for the principal sum owed, extraordinary eye-watering interest rates and penalties. For the criminal route, then I'm afraid the taxpayer or defendant will find him or herself looking at lengthy custodial sentences. Now, all of those are laid out in the Sentencing Council's guidelines on tax and fraud, and they lay out exactly where the judge should be looking at in terms of prison sentences, which is related to the role of the taxpayer, so if it's a prime mover, middle role, lower role, and the amount of money that has been defrauded. The sentences can be very lengthy. Not only that, but they will go after assets, and there are confiscation powers as well that kick in once a conviction has been secured.
What should you do if asked in for interview, either under the Civil Procedure Code of Practice 9 or for a criminal interview under PACE?
Okay, first thing first is get some advice. Now, many of our clients rely solely on their general accountant who does their audit work or prepares their year-end tax accounts. With the greatest respect to those accountants, you need specialist HMRC investigative accountants who are used to dealing with HMRC, whether it's tribunal work or COP 9 approach. That's got to be your first port of call. These specialists are not cheap, but it's worth the investment because they can, first of all, open and establish a good working relationship with HMRC, to try and keep them within the confines of the civil approach and keep that relationship going, which can absolutely produce wonders. Also, you would need to take advice from a specialist HMRC defence lawyer, particularly about the ramifications of answers in interview and whether or not that could open you up to a criminal investigation. Get advice as early as possible. Get all your documents together so that the advisors can see this quickly and arrange to make an appointment with HMRC. Very few people are arrested by the revenue. Those numbers of arrests have plummeted markedly over the last few years, and they would prefer people came in voluntarily for interview, which is then their normal approach. The other thing that people must do is not treat the revenue like fools, because they're not. They can be very difficult and they're under a lot of pressure and they're tough to negotiate with, which is also why you need help. But the revenue have a all singing, all dancing, all jumping computer system called Connect. And Connect actually gathers intelligence from all sources, social media, Companies House, every other government agency, in order to put a picture together about the taxpayers' financial behaviour and whether or not they are not paying their taxes or defrauding the revenue.
How can Lewis Nidas help you with the processes involved in a tax investigation?
Well, we have been defending these cases now for over 30 years. Geoffrey Lewis, who's a senior partner, and myself deal with this work. And we have some really good results and happy clients on the overall. But also we work with the best. So it's the best specialist barristers, the best specialist accountants. We take a very strong, proactive approach to HMRC, even if that does mean just opening a relationship at the beginning. But we certainly are not prepared to sit back and allow clients to be railroaded by them, which can happen if a taxpayer does not have the correct advice and representation.
Siobhan, thank you so much for your time. Where can people contact you with potential inquiries?
Well, the best bet is the office, which is Lewis Nidas Law. Our telephone number is 0207 387 2032. My email address is segan@lewisnidas.co.uk, but all the information is on our website, which is www.lewisnidaslaw.co.uk.
Amazing. That's all from the Lewis Nidas podcast today. You can find us at Lewis Nidas Law on Twitter and at lewisnidas.co.uk. Thank you for listening.